Spirit. Have you ever noticed that some people are never satisfied? Some people are never satisfied, and some people are never happy. You could stand on your head and spin like a top and do whatever you could for them, and they still wouldn't be happy. If there is a classic example of that, it's the children of Israel in the wilderness. It wasn't enough that God freed them from their bondage of slavery. It wasn't enough that they weren't, put to work 12, 15-hour days. They had their freedom. God led them by night, led them by day, and yet they were not happy. They were reminiscing about the days of old when they sat around the fires and ate cantaloupe and melons and flesh pots and those sort of things, and they were hungry. And no, there was no In-N-Out, and no, there was no Chick-fil-A. There was nothing like that. So they're moaning and groaning to Moses, give us something to eat. So Moses goes to the Lord and says, "My people are hungry. Give them something to eat, please." And God responds. And it's a wonderful story. The quails are covering the ground in the morning. And one of my favorite lines in Scripture, there was that flake-like thing, the hoarfrost, all over the ground. And the people go, "What is it?" Like, "Ooh, yuck. I don't want to eat that." But they had something to eat. God provided for them. But they didn't focus on the possibilities beyond that. They focused on the present and the material thing that they had, the food to satiate them, the food to fill their bellies, if you will. They didn't focus on what God could do in their lives beyond that. They lived only in the moment and didn't see the possibilities beyond that. We see the same thing 2 weeks ago in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, in the beauty of the Episcopal lectionary, Mark's gospel is very short. And so for the next 4 weeks, we have the passages in the sixth chapter of John's gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 through 69, that begin to explain in detail the theological basis of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And so we hear in John's gospel this morning about how the people have now followed Jesus to Capernaum. We don't believe, we don't think, we certainly know they didn't follow him because of the signs that they saw, the miracle that they saw. They're following him only for the same reason that the children of Israel moaned in the wilderness. They wanted something more to eat. They wanted something more to eat. And so there they are on the other side, and they say to Jesus, where did you come from? And he simply says to them, I am here. Don't worry about where I came from. But why are you here? You are here because you want more of what I gave you. You want more of the fish and the loaves. You're hungry. You want that again and again and again. You can't see the possibility of something greater. And so they say, what is this, this bread that we're talking about, the bread that comes down from heaven. And Jesus never reveals himself in the Gospels as the Son of God. But in John's Gospel, we hear the great I am statements. We hear, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am that I am. And so Jesus says, my Father gave you this bread from heaven. And so in a very enigmatic way, Jesus reveals who he is. His heavenly Father is his Father, which makes him the Son, right? Pretty straightforward stuff. They still don't get it. They want another sign. They couldn't accept the first sign, but they want yet another sign. Again, they're thinking, way inside of that box. And that box is so dark and so deep that they can't get out of it. They want another sign. And he says, seek that bread which comes down from heaven that my Father alone gave you. I am the bread of life. He who feeds on me will never hunger and will never thirst as well. And so we have a parallel story with the thirsting. In the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, we hear the story of our Lord meeting the woman at the well, the Samaritan, remember the story? And they have that big, long discussion. And he comes up to her and he says, woman, give me a drink. And she says, the well is deep, you have no bucket, How am I to give you a drink? You have no bucket, I have no bucket. How are we going to draw from this well? And Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and you knew to whom you were speaking, you would ask for that living water that will quench your thirst forever. Not the glass of cold water or lemonade or your Diet Coke or whatever, but that living water that will allow you to know the grace and the mercy of God that flows continually in your life. And what does she say? Sir, give me that water. She wants it. She wants it. She sort of gets it. She sort of gets that it's not just about the water in the well. It's about God providing that which quenches all our desires and all our wants and all of our needs. And so the people, back to John's Gospel chapter 6, echo that same sentiment. Give us this bread. Give us this bread that comes down from heaven. Now, do we know that they actually are accepting the fact that Jesus is that bread, that it's him alone that provides that nourishment and sustenance that leads to eternal life? Well, we're not sure, and we'll have to follow the chapters on and on for the next 3 weekends. And I can't spoil the story because I won't have anything to preach about for the next 3 weeks. So we'll kind of leave it at that. But again, they were looking for the material. They were looking for the moment. They weren't looking beyond. They weren't looking for the potential. And I would challenge us this morning to look at the same thing a different way. Where is that potential of God's grace and God's love in our lives individually? Where is that living bread that we are sustained by? Where is that living water that we are quenched with and overflowed with that God provides for us? And how do we live outside of the box? How do we realize the potential of God's grace in our own lives? How do we allow that grace and that mercy and that love to change and alter us, to draw us closer to God, to have those parts of our lives which are broken to be healed, to have our relationships which perhaps are askew be put back as they should be, to reach out to others in love, to reach out to others in hope, to reach out to the world that is broken and sinful? That's on the individual level. On the corporate level, we are a faith community here at St. Andrews. How do we live outside of the box? How do we see the potential as the people of St. Andrews Parish in a broken world to share the grace and the love of God? How are we doing that? Ponder, think, pray. How are we doing that? How are we extending those possibilities and that hope and that love beyond an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning? How are we doing that? And if we're not doing that, or we're not doing that well enough, how can we? Because we're given everything to do that. We're given absolutely everything to do that. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, empowers us to move forward individually and corporately as God's people in this place, to think outside of the box and realize the potential of God's love in the people around us. St. Paul said, with God, all things are possible. Does that mean all things are easy? No, you know that. All things are not easy. And the things that are easy probably are not worth doing. But with God, all things are possible. The people, the children of Israel, couldn't see that. The people who received the manna and the fishes and the loaves couldn't see that. But Jesus was trying to open their eyes, open their hearts, open their minds to new possibilities, to think outside of the box, to think that through the Son of God, by his grace, by his mercy, by his sacrifice, by his resurrection, and above all, by his love, we can transform lives and the world. That's what he was basically saying. Believe in me. I will feed you. I am the bread of life. Drink from my cup and you will thirst no more. Share that love, share that grace, share that mercy, and know that I am the Son of God. You are my children, and with me, all things are possible. All things are possible. May we take that to heart. May we embrace that. May we live it, may we pray it, and above all, may we share it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.